seated, and thank you, Doug, for leading us tonight in our song service. We appreciate all of you that are here tonight. It's good to be back from Waco, Texas, and I'll bring you greetings tonight from the New Road Church of Christ, where Audrey and I were this morning. And it was great to be back to even visit with some old friends, people that we've known for a long, long time. I had conducted a number of gospel meetings there in Waco through the years, not only there, but other congregations as well, and was with this particular church 8 years ago on a similar occasion as we had this morning. And it was great to renew old friendship. And we appreciate very much our good friend Steve Hanley this morning for filling in and teaching the Bible class and also bringing the morning lesson. We appreciate what Steve is doing in terms of prison ministry, and we're all grateful for those who spend their efforts and their time in trying to teach men and women the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's good to see Paul Cartwright here tonight and his family. And Paul was actually, I guess you could say, an intern here several years ago. He worked with us one summer as a youth minister and did a great job. And now he's preaching for the Webb Chapel Church of Christ up in the Dallas area, in the Metroplex, and doing a great job. And we hear good things about you, Paul, and really appreciate so much your being here tonight. I think I mentioned to you, a big group of your congregation are coming down for the Dogwood Jamboree next Saturday night, and they're coming on a bus. And anyway, we'll look forward to seeing many of them as well. You know, I will give you this one word of advice. Be sure and put your long handles on tonight. Now, if you know what I mean, it's going to be down to about 48 degrees, I understand, by morning or by daybreak, and that's kind of cold. That's quite an adjustment. It's hard to believe it's going to be that time already, but it comes so quickly. And I hope that all of you will thank God for this nice good weather that we've had in the rain. Audrey and I were driving to Waco yesterday afternoon, and we got in a deluge. I can tell you it was the worst rain, I believe, that we had ever experienced, and we were about 5 to 6 miles out of Belle Meade going into Waco on 84. And anyway, it began to rain, and boy, did it rain. And our phone went off. There was an alert that there was a tornado in the area there in McLennan County. And so we pulled off momentarily, and we said, well, I don't know, we might be in its path right here. Maybe we should go on. So we drove on and hoping that we would miss it, and we ended up missing it. And but anyway, we were so glad to get to the motel and be able to settle in. And then we went and visited with Mary's sister, Joyce Farrell. Some of you may remember Joyce when she and her husband Wendell were here a number of years ago. So it was a great experience, and I appreciate the opportunity to be away. I'll only be away one more time. I know people keep saying, well, how many times are you going to be away? Well, you know, preachers get vacation, and we get meeting time just like every other preacher. And but we will be away again in the month of November 1 week. I'll be in Jefferson, Texas. But anyway, enough said about all of that. I want to talk to you tonight about having a shelter in a time of storm. And that's really what we were looking for yesterday. You know, in light of the tornado that hit Florida last week, Hurricane Michael, many of us were just shaken by all of the horrible devastation that took place. One thing I have noticed about people is that when you can't talk about anything else, you will talk about the weather. We do. Sometimes we all face the storms of life. We do. They come and they go. And sometimes we ask ourselves the question, is there any way that we can really guard against those things? In the book of Psalm 61 and verse 4, David said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know, I didn't know for a long, long time what that word covert actually meant. But a covert in reality is a shelter. It is a place of refuge from the storms of life. And in reality, Jesus becomes our shelter. He does. many of us probably have run from storms. We've had horrible storms here in Palestine through our tenure here with the Crockett Road Church, many of them. And there have been times when we would actually have to take shelter in this building during worship services, believe it or not. But a covert is a hiding place. It's like a little chick, maybe, that's finding a place that is secure, where it will not be harmed in any way. And David actually had a handle on that in the book of Psalm 17 and verse 8 when he said, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." One time Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how oft would I gather you to myself as a hen would gather her brood under her wings." You know, that really is a covert for baby chickens, isn't it? To be under, if you've ever seen that, and I have seen it, we raised chickens when I was a young boy, and I would see those little chicks get under the wings of their mom. And that's what David is talking about. It was a place of shelter. And in the 57th chapter of the book of Psalms, in verse 1, David writes, he says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful unto me." He says, "For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge till all of these calamities pass me by." You know, when we're going through great trouble and difficulty in our life, aren't we thankful that there is one to whom we can turn? "Hide me under the shadow of your wing," Psalm 17, verse 8 and 9 says, "from the wicked who oppress me," he says, "and from the deadly enemies who surround me." If you were to really stop and think about it, every day we need a place of refuge. We do. And I want to talk to you tonight about some of those places wherein we need refuge. Psalm 63:7, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Now, David really isn't saying this for novelty's sake, as I've mentioned here. But he's really talking about the fact that God is a great comfort when we go through the storms of life. In Matthew 23, again, Jesus says, "I would have gathered you to myself." He says, "I wanted to put you in me and with me, just as that hen gathers her brood." But he says, "But you would not." That's what the rest of that passage said. In Psalm 61, verse 1 through 5, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth," he says, "will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And lead me to the rock that is higher than I." We often sing that grand old hymn. "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in," here's that word again, "the covert," the hiding place, "the shelter of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear or respect thy name." You know, respect is a wonderful thing. It seems as though we've lost a lot of respect in our time. We've lost respect sometimes for the government, for law enforcement. We lose respect for other people, for those in positions of leadership. We lose respect for one another, and we often even lose self-respect. But the Bible says that we are to be a people that respect Jehovah God. We must have what we call respectable, if you will. And the Bible teaches us over and over and over that we are to be a people of respect. If you were to go to the book of Colossians, where Paul writes to that church at Colossae, he gives these words of admonishment in the third chapter, verse 3 through 4. He says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory." You and I are hidden with Christ. Have you ever thought about the fact that while we are hiding in Christ, and that's what we're doing tonight, we are in Jesus, and we're like that chicken that brings that brood unto herself. God has brought us to Him. And He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews chapter 13. Now, let me share with you some places that I really believe we need a shelter. And God is our hiding place when trials threaten to overwhelm us. You and I have faced trials in the past. Maybe you're facing a trial right now. Or maybe you're anticipating a trial in the future. You know it's going to come, but you don't know exactly how you're going to handle it. But you can rest assured that trials will come. In this life, you will face tribulation. That's another word that is commonly woven throughout the New Testament. Tribulation. But they are trials. They are difficulties. There are problems, there are trouble, like Job said in the book of Job 14, verse 1 and 2. But the Bible says, do not think it strange concerning these fiery trials, which is to try you. They are going to try you. It's going to come, James says. And he calls them, it's not by accident, he calls them fiery trials, because fiery trials burn. They hurt, they bring pain. And when we're going through all of these trials in life, sometimes people turn everywhere but to the right person, and that is our God who is in heaven. In the book of Hebrews, the second chapter in verse 18, for in that He Himself suffered being tempted or tried, He is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor actually means to give comfort to bless, to nurture. And that is exactly what God does for us. It's what Christ does for us because He has faced similar situations. In 2 Peter 2 in verse 9, God knows how to deliver the godly from the trials of this life. Sometimes when we pray, we ask God to bless us in those trials. But I don't really think it's wrong to pray, God, please deliver us from those trials. If Peter is giving us these words of admonition and telling us that God is capable of doing it, then certainly there is a hint, at least, of the fact that God is waiting for us to pray for deliverance. Whatever trial you may be going through in this life, and the trials that oftentimes derail us, are the very same ones that will really strengthen us and develop our lives. James says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. You may not understand today, you may not understand tomorrow. I was talking with someone over in Waco just today who had come up to me after the lesson this morning and said that they were going through great trials and didn't know exactly how they were going to handle those. And I said, you know what? You may not understand now what's going on. But the time will come when you will understand, and God will make it plain to you. God will reveal why we went through everything we went through in this life. Do you know trials can either do one of two things? They can either make you or they can break you. And I don't know about you, but I've seen people in both categories. I've seen people who were broken down by their trials in life. But on the other hand, I have seen people who could triumph over those trials. And the trial, in reality, was the very thing that made them what they are. Proverbs 21 and 15 says, when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous. And it does, but it brings terror to the evildoers. But God is not only our hiding place when we go through those trials of life. He is our hiding place in the day of mourning and loss and sorrow. You know, one of the most difficult things in the world to do is to face loss. Loss of a family member. And through the years, I have been with people in this congregation. Listen, and Ben's with them all the time too, but I can tell you, I've been with parents who lost their children when they were 3 and 4 years of age. I've been with parents when they would lose a child in the middle of a night who was killed in an accident. I have been with wives when their husbands died, what we think is a premature death, but yet the book of Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. I've been with men when they lost their wives that they loved so deeply, and I have been with children when they lost their parents. And I'm telling you, that's a very difficult time. It is. And when we feel that we have to relegate ourselves to flowers and cards from the members of the congregation, I'm going to tell you, I'm not trying to downplay that. I'm telling you, that's a great thing. Any kind of remembrance means so much. But the thing that will sustain you and the thing that will help you is being able to find our hiding place in God. For 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says that God comforts us in all of our troubles. Now listen to the rest of this. So we will know how to comfort one another. God doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable. He comforts us to help us comfort other people. Now that's why He comforts us. And He is a tremendous comfort. He is the one. And by the way, that word is the word paraclete from the Greek language. It's the same word that you use to describe the Holy Spirit, one who stands by us, one who is with us in our darkest hour in life. He is the one. God's word embraces us and brings comfort to every one of us. Where would we be without the great comforter, Almighty God? Sometimes, and I have observed this also, sometimes God calms the storm that rages within. He may not always calm the storm that rages without. Sometimes people ask those questions about hurricanes like Michael over in Florida. Why is it that those people died and some lived? And they're still looking for 40 people that are still missing. Why is it? I can't answer that tonight. All I can tell you is that we need to leave that in the hands of God. But I know one thing, that God is the great comfort. Sometimes when we experience loss and heartache and problems in our life, like we're talking about here tonight, sometimes we have a tendency to blame God. The other day I was watching television and they were showing scenes or the remains and the devastation along the seashore there. And they were interviewing one woman, and you know what? Here again, the media sometimes is just, pardon the expression, so stupid. But they are. I mean, they walk up to this lady and they said, well, how does this make you feel? How do you think it makes her feel? But I also saw one woman look up and just shake her fist at God, as if to blame God, instead of finding refuge that her life was spared and how fortunate she really was. Isaiah 53 says, surely, in talking about Jesus, the coming Messiah, surely He hath borne our griefs and He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Isaiah 66 and verse 13 also offers these words, as one whom his mother comforteth, God says, so will I comfort you. Have you ever thought about a mother's comfort? You know, there's no one that really comforts you like your mom. Oh, your dad can comfort you, but there's no one who really comforts you like your mother. And the Bible says, God speaking, I will comfort you like your mother comforts you. I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 18. But I will come to you. He's going to send the comforter, that is the paraclete. There is the Holy Spirit, all right. But He said, I will come to you. And we should never worry. God is never, listen, never blind to our tears. Matter of fact, do you know the Bible says that God puts our tears in a bottle? Did you know that? He gathers up our tears. He is never deaf to our prayers and never silent to our pain. He always knows when we go through pain. He sees, He hears, and He is the one who will deliver us. He does. But thirdly, He is our hiding place in the day of the Lord's anger. And you know what? I want to tell you something. when God avenges this old world for all of the sin and the heartache that the devil has caused, I want Jesus to be my covert. I want to be under his wing. You know, the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. In that little book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament, it's not a book that we always, you know, quote from so much, but, you know, all those tremendous books of the Old Testament is filled with principles and things that are so important. Zephaniah said, one of the great prophets, he said, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." You know, it's hard for us to even comprehend the Lord's anger. But in Romans 1 and verse 18, Paul says, "For the wrath of God," that's the anger of God, "is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth." If you're reading the King James Version, it says, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In Job 14:13, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave." Listen to that. He's talking about the coming day of God or Jesus Christ. And he says, "Oh, that you would let me hide in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in secret until thy wrath is past." When you go to the book of Revelation, you read all the horrible things that are going to happen on this earth with the destruction of the earth. You'd probably, if you're not a Christian, you'd want to be in the grave. "That thou would appoint unto me a set time and remember me. That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath." Job 21 and verse 30. But you know one thing about God? The Bible says, even though he's angry with the wicked every day, that God is slow to anger. But God is also a God of wrath. "Who knoweth the power of thine anger," David asked. "Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." In Psalms, the Bible says again, "He sent his burning anger against them, fury and indignation and calamity and a band of deadly messengers." The Bible freely talks about the wrath of the Lamb. That is Jesus. He is the Lamb. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In Revelation chapter 6, the wrath of the Lamb will come. And God is angry with those who do wrong every day. God is angry with the wicked. He is. "But a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise." Psalms 51 and verse 17. "But we are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ for the great day of his wrath." This is a passage that really intrigues me and causes me great consternation. "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb." Last of all, very quickly, he is our hiding place in this life and in the life to come. Isn't it wonderful to think that someday when we get out of all of the trauma and the heartache of this life, that we'll be able to really find a covert in heaven. That we'll really find comfort in heaven. David said in Psalms 119, verse 114, "that you are my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in thy word." We sing that old song so often, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high." And the chorus says with a resounding phrase, "Hide me, O my Savior, hide me, till the storm of life is past. Safe in heaven or the harbor, guide, O receive my soul at last." I wait for the Lord, King David said. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my complete trust and hope. Psalms 130 and verse 5. Where is your eye tonight? Is your eye upon God? Is it? I mentioned to them this morning, you know, we have to be people that trust God even when we're going through storms. Sometimes that's kind of hard to do. You know, it's kind of like the little boy one time, you know, who fell off a cliff and grabbed a limb that was coming out the side of the mountain, and he was holding on for dear life. And he said, "Oh God, please help me, please help me." And God says, "Let go, I will save you. Let go, I will save you." And the little boy looked up to heaven and said, "Is there someone else up there?" You know what? We're not real sure we want to trust in God. We don't. But we have to keep our eye on Him. We do. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "May my breath of petition fly on wings of grace, and may they reach the Father's ear." We must never give up on prayer. We must continue to pray. We need to continue to pray for the people down in Florida. We need to continue to pray for all people that are going through trials tonight, because God answers our prayer in ways that we don't even understand and comprehend. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near." Isaiah 55 and verse 6. And then Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And so for those of us who feel that we've not really found God, maybe you're not seeking him with all of your heart. It is time to seek the Lord. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, you know, every day God calls us. You know, we offer an invitation here every time we have an assembly on Sunday and Sunday night. And we give people an opportunity to become Christians. And the reason we do that is because God has called you through messages like this. But it's up to us to respond to the message. You can do one of two things. You can either accept the call from Jesus right now, or you can say, "Well, I'll take the call later." Or you can just ignore it. But to think in terms of receiving a call later, it may never come. May never come. I can tell you countless souls that spurned the invitation of our Lord, and the call never came again for them. They died, and it was too late. I've known of many in my lifetime who ignored the call of God, and it was too late. That's why it's so important for us tonight to heed the call, as the old song says, "Brother dear." So if you're estranged from God tonight, maybe you're going through trials right now, that you want members of this body to go before God in your behalf, then it's a wonderful time to let us know. We'd be happy to do that. We'll take your petitions along with ours, and we'll go before our Father who is in heaven and pray that you will find the comfort that you seek tonight in the covert of God's wings, while we stand and while we sing.